Looking at the December entertainment calendar in Las Vegas, you wouldn't know we're in the middle of a pandemic. The National Finals Rodeo is coming back, as are the country music singers who perform over those 10 days. That includes Carrie Underwood, who will open the Resorts World Theater after Celine Dion pushed back her new residency. Also coming are the big New Year's Eve shows, and there are plenty of Christmas programs that are going to be happening all over the valley. But the question is, are people really at ease enough now during this pandemic, which is still ongoing, to fill all of those seats? John Ketzelmidis is a columnist for Las Vegas Review Journal, a longtime local entertainment columnist. John, welcome back.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, too. So, John, let's start with the NFR, National Finals Rodeo. Last year, it was held in Texas because that state was very light on COVID restrictions. It's back in Vegas December 2nd, and by our count, 13 major acts will perform. These are acts, big ones. We're talking about Carrie Underwood, a lot of other people that we're going to talk about, but there are countless smaller shows as well. It makes me think NFR has basically turned into this massive country music festival here. How did that ever happen?
Well, this has been going on for years, at least for the past, more than a decade, where Vegas goes country. Vegas has gone country has been the theme of the NFR as a civic celebration. When Las Vegas Events has booked the rodeo at the Thomas and Mack Center, they have also arranged for official sanctioned events all over the city. So you do have several hotels activated in the NFR thing, with the country music artists. They have in the past they've turned the Mirage sportsbook into a saloon, for example. The South Point Showroom has been host of the nightly Buckle Award winning program. That's been a big deal. They've tied entertainment into that. Fremont Street Experience, a downtown hoedown. That's a huge thing. Several thousand people hit that, and it's as we've said. It's when the hats come to town. And
I was going to ask you that. Is it really? You go down to the Strip, you see guys in cowboy hats and boots, line dancing everywhere, 10-gallon hats.
That's sort of it. Yeah, it's kind of a, you think of it as a cliche, but it does happen. I've been to Cirque du Soleil shows during the NFR where half the crowd has been in cowboy hats. For that comparison. So, I've watched parties all over the place. In the past, they've done the watch party down at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center, kitty corner from the D Las Vegas, and there's been a big party there. And obviously, we have the superstar headliners that are booked in conjunction with the NFR because they know that crowd is coming in, and that's been kind of a given for the last several years. So, like you said, it did leave last year, and that made a lot of people nervous because that's what it might look like in Las Vegas when this year's when the contract terms out, which is another 5 years after this year. They added a year to the NFR's the PRCA's agreement with Las Vegas to hold the rodeo here. Civically, our tourism officials and our resort officials do not want to lose the NFR.
No.
Too
much business.
Way, way too much business. So it went out for 1 year, and there were, we saw what that would look like, and it was unpleasant. So
let's talk about some of the shows. I mentioned Carrie Underwood. Who else is going to be here?
We have Reba Brooks and Dunn. And Shania Twain, Reba Brooks and Dunn at the Coliseum. They're ending their
Reba McEntire
and Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn. Reba Brooks and Dunn, they've been almost 10 years there. I think it is 10 years this year. As a country residency in Vegas, the longest running country themed headliner residency ever in Las Vegas. Yeah, and that, when you see the show, you understand why. They're here. Shania Twain's coming back to Zappos Theater alongside, she has a lot of country elements in her show. And Underwood, obviously, is the third leg of that opening at Resorts World, and that's one that we're really watching with great interest because she kind of fell into that role of opening the theater.
Big as Celine Dion? Can she fill that role?
Yeah, I mean, when you think of it as is she as big? She's in the same strata. All those headliners at Resorts World are the same kind of level. I think they would have preferred to go with Celine because of her her status as kind of the queen of the modern day Las Vegas residency. She helped create this entire atmosphere herself over at Coliseum, and there was a reason why she was going to be the one to kick
off. She had that one song in the movie about the ship that sinks.
Yeah, it's not, and a lot of people think it's the theme of Gilligan's Island. No, it's My Heart Will Go On by from the Titanic. And she does. She does a wonderful. It's a very. It's an expertly performed show. It's a very generous show. And what Celine Dion has been able to establish is herself as a superstar headliner in Las Vegas, as a resident, an actual resident here, and tell her story through video and everything, and then bring out the big hits. And they were really excited to have her be the first one out. When they had their advertising campaign, she led that too. She was the first one mentioned.
She's out because of severe muscle spasms.
Yeah, health issues.
Mm-hmm. What about coming back? Any word on that?
She will come back to tour. Next year, she's due in May. I think she kicks off her oft delayed world tour and U.S. tour in I think it's in Denver, and so she is scheduled to perform in the earlier part of 2022 on that tour and fulfill those dates, and that carries her several dates into the fall of next year. As for Las Vegas, I haven't. Everybody says that she's committed to returning to Resorts World and filling dates there. In the meantime, that resort is going to be going forward with Underwood, Katy Perry, and Luke Bryan, and some other unannounced headliners. I believe that she'll be back if she can at all sing. But now it's a matter of coordinating, the dates and how many dates, and what kind of physical condition is she going to be in coming off a world tour. Because that's going to be the climate she's going to be facing.
One of the biggest shows is going to be George Strait's. In fact, he has the only arena residency in Vegas. He plays at other times of the year here as well. He's nearly 70. Is he like the Mick Jagger of country music?
maybe in terms of being able to perform. If you saw Mick Jagger perform alongside George Strait, the comparison would not be so evident. But I just saw the Rolling Stones, and I've seen George Strait, never the twain shall meet. But George Strait has that huge multi-generational following that you need to do these residents, especially in an arena. He does 6 weekends a year. And he has found a pocket, And the thing about George Strait is you can't see him perform that show anywhere else. It's the exclusivity is only in Las Vegas. And he's got a huge fan base. And the word of mouth of that show is extreme, because people who aren't necessarily George Strait fans who go and see him say, hey, you should see this. It's really special.
I've heard that same exact thing.
I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time, says George. So,
Actually, you got some vocals there. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Now, another big name is Jason Aldean. If people don't know his music, they know that name because he was on stage at the Route 91 Harvest Festival when shots came from Mandalay Bay and killed 60 people, injured hundreds. He has performed here since then, since 2017, October 1st. Mm-hmm. He's going to have 3 shows during NFR next month at the Park MGM.
Right.
Do those shows take on new meaning?
I saw him in his first show back. And I think at that time, they did, because he addressed it in a very intelligent way. He finished off the song that he had started when the shooting started. It was the last time we were here, we weren't able to finish our set. We're going to finish the song we played. And then they played it, and the place went crazy. I don't know, having not talked to him directly about what it means to be so affiliated with Las Vegas, I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know if he's going to address it directly or not, but invariably it will be, there will be an undercurrent of that event in his shows. And Jason Aldean had an inclination to perform a residency of some sort in Las Vegas before the Route 91. I had talked to him about that, maybe going into the joint where, Rascal Flatts at the time had just performed there, and we were starting to get the Reuben Brooks and Dunn shows going. And he was like interested in doing it anyway. So I think he fits the model for a short-term, limited engagement, limited residency, whatever you want to call it. And I think it would be, if I were him, I would continue to pay tribute to that moment in the way he has, because I think it would be falling.
It's still fresh. Mm-hmm. 5 years later, it's still fresh in our minds.
And I think it'll always be there. When you see Jason Aldean in Las Vegas, I think it's inevitable. And I think I think he's found a way to do it, and he's been very patient with the questions about it because he knows he's in a unique position to speak to it.
Is he considered in any way sort of a hero to country music fans?
He has been on such an arc for several years. It's like the next kind of Garth Brooks who was the next George Strait, you know, Aldean's in that area. He's a guy that can fill an arena on tour. He can do some multiple dates in a place like Dolby Live, they call it now, the Park Theater. Is he a hero? I think he's a hero in the same way that a lot of this country superstars are heroes. You know, he can head up a festival. He's a rock star in the country context, you know. So I say, yeah, that would say the short answer.
John Ketzlamidis, columnist from the Review Journal, is here because we have a big entertainment month hitting Las Vegas. There's the NFR, about a million country western singers, New Year's Eve, and a lot more. John, the Strip goes through this dead period for a few weeks after NFR, but then it gets busy again leading up to and ending with the New Year's weekend. Last year, we did not have a lot of concerts for New Year's Eve. This year, there are a ton. What are the hottest tickets?
Probably right now, the ones that leap out are Maroon 5 at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan. They've traditionally played New Year's weekend at Mandalay Bay Event Center, which is now called Michelob Ultra Arena. The Cosmopolitan has booked them for New Year's Eve, and that's a big deal, and that will be packed. Bruno Mars will be at Dolby Live. He's previously played the Chelsea and also T-Mobile. And you have some pockets of interesting things going on that are nostalgia shows. You got the Go-Go's, the reunited Go-Go's.
What?
Seriously, over at Encore Theater.
They're reunited.
The full lineup. And they're doing two shows on the 30th and the 1st. And that's interesting. You know, you go, wow, the Go-Go's, what? But they haven't performed together as a unit in a very long time live. And so there's a lot of, you know, if you want to come to Las Vegas and see something we don't normally see, that's
one. If somebody's listening and they don't know what the Go-Go's sing, give me a few bars.
Head over heels, where do I go? Can't stop myself.
Is that their biggest
control
song?
No, I think Our Lips Are Sealed was the first one.
How's that go?
If I have to sing two Go-Go songs, I have to talk to my agent. Okay. But anyway, you know, they were huge in the 80s era and the MTV era, and them and the Bangles and we're kind of the forefront of the pop rock.
Are the Bangles coming back now too?
No, not that I know of. But I hope not, because I don't know. I don't want to sing any Bangles songs. And then we have the downtown on New Year's Eve, the Fremont Street Experience, where, you know, we got Vanilla Ice is down there.
Oh, wow.
And
Ice
Tone Loc and the Village Loc. People are all down there. So watch out for that one. That's going to be on New Year's Eve, too. So
this is
Las Vegas.
That sounds kind of fun, actually.
2022.
That sounds fun.
Into 2021, 22.
You will not be getting a ticket to see Kiss, because those veterans of rock were going to launch a residency at the Zappos Theater at the Planet Hollywood. They canceled. How come?
I look at this as there were a number of reasons why. One was Kiss was a busy touring band when they booked this series. It was going to start December 27th and run through February. There was a lot of availability around the country to see Kiss anyway. They had a problem with COVID twice over with Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley that had interrupted that tour. Then their guitar tech for 25 years passed away that really shook them up. He was the guy that that announced the band. That landed very poorly. They got some very rough publicity for that nationally about how that happened from unnamed sources inside the band who didn't like the protocols. They felt it was too loose, and that's.
But did he die of COVID?
He died of COVID. In a hotel room in I think it was in Detroit, And they did a Kiss cruise right after that that attracts thousands of people. They do these – it was the 10th year for this. That was a shot to see Kiss. And then if you come off that and say, oh, we're going to do all these shows in Las Vegas, you've kind of exhausted in a way your strongest –
saturated.
Your strongest fans have already caught you guys. And I think that played into this. I think that there was a moment where, you know, it probably is a better idea to pull these shows – especially in an uncertain ticket buying climate as it is, a very fickle ticket buying climate. It's a very late buying market, by the way. So you don't know the advanced sales are hard to read right now because people are buying so late, you know, compared to pre-COVID, because they aren't sure, you know, if they're going to want to go to shows or what the protocol, for a lot of reasons. I believe then with all that, I'm not ruling out Kiss in the future somewhere. I think Zappos was a very good fit, and I think their ideas for the show were really cool. But I think they're going to have to just hit the brakes and see what's going to happen in Las Vegas in terms of other rock residencies before they rebook. But I am not ruling that one out. I think it makes too much sense, even if it's just for a weekend or eight shows in a month.
Here's another I don't want to say ancient rocker, but come on, Diamond David Lee Roth, and
my man, formerly
of Van Halen, he's going to be resuming a residency at the House of Blues. He says he'll retire after those dates in December and January. Is that just a ploy, or do you think he'll really retire?
Well, I was on the other side of that announcement, as you know. I had set up an interview with Diamond Dave, who I've talked to before and whom I've met, and I just wanted to do bank an interview for the shows coming up to House of Blues.
Read the interview. Yeah, great stuff. Yeah.
And so, you know, I started in, and he had a prepared statement for me. And he announced very convincingly that he was going to step down. Now, I don't know. There is a certain amount of skepticism. Like, is this just a way to sell tickets? But I also know that he said he had some medical issues that he didn't specify that makes me think it's more than just, you know, just him deciding to go off and be an artist. He's a very good painter. But on top of all this, he also posted an Instagram image about a week later that said the final shows, or are they? That message was on there.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, great, here we go. We're going to go through another, you know, tilt-a-whirl with Diamond Dave. But right now, those shows at House of Blues, we're considering them his last shows.
Does he still do the karate kicks and all that stuff?
He does a single leg kick. He's 70.
He must 70. Be. Oh, okay.
Yeah, 7-0. Yeah. So he does one leg kick, but this is not the this is not the Diver Down tour where, you know, here. This is him in later in his career. And he's always loved Las Vegas. He's loved, you know, the whole being a headliner in Las Vegas. And he did a little Elvis impression in his shows before COVID. He brought an Elvis wig out and sang a little, shimmied a little bit like Elvis. He's had a great band behind him, and he's played all the Van Halen hits. You know, he's vocally not where he was years ago.
And even then, it was a little testy.
Yeah, he was never, you know, David Lee Roth was never going to be mistaken for
charisma,
a Steve Perry.
His personality. He was
the ringleader. And when I wrote that column, a lot of my friends in Las Vegas who were singers or performers saying, you know, he was an inspiration for a whole generation of rock and roll musicians and singers.
With all these shows, John, New Year's, NFR, is Vegas back to normal?
It feels like it. You know, I can't say that we're selling as well as we normally would because people still – I'm getting that people still don't want to – ticket holders still don't want to wear masks. But we're getting to the point where we're almost to that level of – at least in the entertainment scene where we're seeing a lot of headliner shows, a lot of production shows returning to full capacity. I'm going to Ka tonight, Cirque du Soleil's last show to reopen, and then they're going to open a new show next year by March. There are some new titles that have come in, which we've seen, you know, pre-pandemic. It feels like we are grinding our way back and being reminded, at least I am, at every turn to be safe. But I think we figured out, at least for the time being, how to enjoy the city and keep ourselves safe.
You brought a crystal ball with you. I wonder if you could look into this and say, what will be the new residencies?
I am confident. I'll tell you what has been stated to me and has been published elsewhere. I honestly believe that Garth Brooks wants to be in a Las Vegas theater in 2022. That might go alongside with Reba Brooks and Dunn closing their run at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace. He said to me in July that he was in talks with MGM Resorts and Caesars Entertainment people about the Coliseum and at the time Park Theater. He wants to do a show that can play smaller, of course, and is something somewhere along the lines of what he had at Encore Theater. I think his wife, Trisha Yearwood, will be in the show. He loves that idea. I think that Michael Bublé is serious about coming to Las Vegas to Resorts World, the Canadian crooner. As he's known, yeah. Michael Bublé is a big deal, sir. And he can be a nice fit at Resorts World until they figure out what they're going to do with Celine Dion.
What about
And Adele.
There you go.
All right. Adele, the bane of my existence for the past about 5 years. Every so often you get these rumors of Adele. It usually coincides with her releasing an album. What she has said is they have investigated Las Vegas and the available dates in the available facilities are not right for her. There's nothing available, she says. I'm still thinking that there's too much interest in Las Vegas for Adele. I've had bookers tell me that they would move heaven and earth to get Adele on stage in Las Vegas. She is she's the brass ring right now. So I'm still thinking that there's going to be a way to satisfy what she wants to do here, but a lot of it depends on Adele. You know, people forget, you know, you see these things reported and, you know, they're going all over the world with the speculation. Sometimes it comes down to does this person want to spend that much time in Las Vegas singing under difficult circumstances? I don't know that she wants to. You know, I'm not 100% sure of that.
What about doing a show at the Sphere, the great big ball that's being built down there?
Well, I think you're going to have to have the folks who have played Madison Square Garden, because MSG is part of that project. You know, I think the Justin Timberlakes would be a part of that booking. I would love to see U2, whatever version of Pink Floyd, those types of bands in there. But I think we're going to see a lot of theatrical performances.
Wait, is Pink Floyd back?
They will be if you pay them enough.
Oh, okay.
Trust me. If you put Pink Floyd in the Sphere, look out. I've got some questions about how the seating is going to be in the Sphere anyway, aesthetically. That's just something I want to know about. But I think we're going to see a lot of theatrical productions too, you know, like Epcot Center-ish stuff that's designed specifically for that venue too. It won't be just live music. It'll be other types of
By the way, John, you know music well because you are actually a singer. You've taken singing lessons. You actually have a gig coming up. So I wonder if you would send us into the long weekend with a song about thanks. It's Thanksgiving. Just a few words on your gig that's coming
well,
up.
Well, it's here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be, and this is not really a build thing, but I'm going to be on stage in the month of December along with Kelly Clinton over at the Nevada Room. And we haven't really worked out the details yet, but it's going to be I'm contributing to a kind of a holiday-esque vibe over there. She does Thursday nights, and so look for that. Yes, and you're right. I have taken voice lessons. So
now
let's
get to this song that I know you're eager to sing.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
I dedicate this to my friend Billy F. Gibbons, who I talked to on the phone yesterday. He's in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And that's
of
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top, my kind of neighbor. And he instills a sense of gratitude every time I talk to him. And he has written a song that goes something like this. You didn't have to love me like you did, but you did, but you did. And I thank you. You didn't have to squeeze me like you did, but you did, but you did. And I thank you.
That's John Katzlimidis.
There we go.
Entertainment columnist for the Review Journal. John, thank you so much. Great rendition.
I got to call my roadies and get me out of here.
This is State of Nevada.